The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with his disciples, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. So before I get into the sermon, I'd like to have a word with the kids this morning. It looks like my little sheep has come to visit me. This is Rosebud. So he's the one moving the camera on me. But if the kids could come close to the screen, I just have a little challenge for them this morning. So you've heard the psalm today. It's Psalm 23. He just got me really full of cat here. Psalm 23. It's probably one of the greatest and most well-loved psalms in all of Scripture. And I have a challenge for you kids. I want you to memorize that. Rarely do I ask anyone, especially kids, to memorize things because I'm not very good at that myself. I do have Psalm 23 memorized though, and it's been very big blessing for me just to know that psalm and to have that as a resource in my life. So I've learned it in three parts, the first few verses and then the middle section and then the end. Now you kids might be wondering, well, what's in it for us? If it's a challenge, what's the reward? You know, where is there a candy bar or some M&Ms or, you know, what's the reward, Pastor? Well, here's the reward. The reward is you will have that blessing of God's word in your life every day and any time that you need it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness or goodness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So, again, your reward is you have that word of promise. The word that God is with us in the midst of the darkest valleys, and he's with us beside the still waters and in the green pastures. He provides, he protects, he leads, he shepherds us. So let's pray, kids. Gracious God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus as our shepherd, the one to lead us. And not only the one to lead us, but the one to open the way for us, to open the way for us into your glorious kingdom, into your life, and into the abundance that only you can give. So bless our children these days as they're working through loss and grief around this time, these times of isolation and COVID-19 threats. Just let your shepherding be a comfort to them and a strength in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me know when you've learned that psalm, and then I will give you a pat on the back and celebrate with you, because it's a great accomplishment. It's dusk. The moon is up. The sun is down. It's that time of night when the shepherd would have the sheep already locked in the sheepfold. And they'd be quieting down. Their anxiety would be subsiding. They would have had a good day of grazing. Shepherd would be getting some food about now, while the gatekeeper keeps a watch on his sheep. It was a communal sheepfold, more than likely, where there were a number of sheep herders, lambs. It was time, it's time for things to quiet down. Except for those things that come out at night. Those things would just be waking up now. They would just be coming alive. But the sheep are safe. They're in the fold. They're in the fold, and the door is shut. The sheep are safe. It's time to settle down and get some rest from a long day of grazing. Good night. It's now dawn. With dawn comes the rising of the sun and a new day. It's time for the shepherd. He arrives at the sheepfold. He checks in with the gatekeeper to make sure everything went okay during the night. He's rested. He's ready to go. And now it's time to lead his sheep out to pasture. But wait, his sheep are mixed with all the others. How will he separate them and get them to the field in time for them to be satisfied with drink and new grass? Oh, this is where his voice comes in. He will call them by his voice. They will hear his voice and they will follow. They will come back out through. They will come back out through the gate, and he will lead them into green pastures. He will lead them beside the still waters, and they will have life abundant. This is the life of the shepherd. It's the life of routine. It's the life of rhythm, of entering the sheepfold at night, where peace can be found and anxiety left behind. In the morning, as the sun rises, he leads the sheep back to the hills, where they find grass and pasture and abundant life. It's a rhythm to life of moving in and out and being watched over, being safe and living the life that God has planned for the sheep. So, Pastor, so we should have you should have seen now the dawn, or the dusk and the dawn. The stage has been set for the sermon today, for the sermon around the proclamation that Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. He is the shepherd of the sheep. And you've seen now the life of the shepherd, the life of leading in and leading out, the life of routine and rhythm. And that's really what I want to focus on today, is this idea of the rhythm of life. It's really consistent with the life that we get in Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis, that God created the world in 6 days, that on the seventh day God rested, and God has given us into that kind of rhythm. And the shepherd really, and the sheep really live out that rhythm of life. It's a consistent rhythm. It's about as exciting as the rhythm of our life during a COVID-19 pandemic. Again, it's about being, it's about leading out and leading in, and the dawn and the dusk, and trying to survive and trying to thrive in the midst of life. In Psalm 121, another psalm that I really love, that psalm begins with the words, "I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come?" And I can't stop it. So I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? We typically think that this psalm was written by a traveler, one traveling between Jerusalem and Jericho, and one who was afraid of bandits and robbers who would hide out in the hills waiting to ambush them and steal their goods and leave them for dead. It could have also been written by a shepherd. A shepherd in the morning time would go to the sheepfold and collect his sheep, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but then he would lead his sheep to the hills during the day, where they would find grass and pasture and water, and so it could have very well been written by a shepherd who wondered, where will his help be in the midst of his day, in the midst of his regular routine, in the rhythm of life? Where is God in the midst of that? And it's really a psalm of promise, because it says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who watches over you will not slumber nor sleep." So God there is your shepherd. And in the end it says, "And he will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." So the promise is that as we go, as we live this rhythm of life, as we go in and come out and are led in and led out by Jesus, that he is our shepherd. He is our protector and our provider, and so it's really good news, this promise that through Jesus God is with us in our comings and in our goings. And it's really I don't want to skip over this idea that Jesus is the gate, or really literally the door. He is the door to the sheepfold. A lot of commentators want to say that he uses this image because the door was simply a gap in the fence or in the rock wall, and they like to say that the shepherd himself or herself was then the door. They would sleep in that doorway, and the wolf or the thief or the bandit would have to come literally over them in order to get to the sheep. But I don't necessarily buy that. Typically in ancient Israel, there was more of a communal sheepfold, which again was probably a rock wall with briars around it, and then a gap in the door. But there was a gatekeeper. There was so the shepherd could bring his sheep in. He could lead his sheep in it at dusk. He could leave his sheep there in the security of the fold, and he could go get some food and some rest. And then in the morning, he would return to the sheepfold, and he would call his sheep. And when they heard his voice, his sheep would come out from the midst of the group of sheep that had been boarded there that night, and they would follow him because they knew his voice. And so they, in the evening, at dusk, they would go into the sheepfold, and in the morning he would call them out and they would head for the hills. And this promise of Psalm 121, the promise of God's word, is that I will be with you in your going out and in your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, and throughout this scripture, there's really an underlying question that I think we need to deal with today, and that is the question of what does God want for you in your life? And again, this shepherd's imagery really contrasts with the imagery of judgment. Because so often we think about God as the judge, the God who is there to condemn us when we do wrong, who is there to, hit our knuckles with a ruler when we mess up. But that's not the image that we get from John's gospel, especially John 9 and 10. Yes, there are those who are standing against Jesus, and he does want to bring them down. He wants to bring them, really open them up to his word, and they refuse. So he continues to butt heads with them. So if we are in a place where we're standing against God, then yes, Jesus does want to bring us down. He wants to bring us to a place of humility to where we can see our need for God. But if we're struggling, if we're seeking life in the daily world, and we just can't get a leg up, Jesus and God, that is not the kind of God who we worship. One who is the constant judge, the constant knuckle beater. This is not the picture that we get. In John chapter 9, we meet a man who was born blind, a man who was considered by society and especially the religious elites as a sinner, one who was born in sin. In other words, that his blindness was a curse. And Jesus heals him. He gives him his sight. And in the end of that story, they end up kicking him out of the synagogue. They end up rejecting him, the religious leaders, that is. And Jesus goes and finds him. Just like a shepherd would go and find his lost sheep. And Jesus restores him into community. Jesus restores him to life. He restores him to relationship with himself and with his community, his family. And he brings honor and dignity to his life. This is the picture of what God wants for you. He wants for you the abundant life. He wants that for you and for me. And he's willing to lead us into that if we will follow him, if we will enter into relationship with him. He is the door through which we must enter into God's reign, into God's way of being, into God's abundant life. And so it's this relationship with Jesus. In John's gospel, it's always about relationship with Jesus, because in relationship with Jesus, we are in relationship with God. And so what does God want for you? He wants for you life. He wants for you abundance. He wants for you protection and provision and goodness. You see, abundant life comes from knowing and following the shepherd, from knowing and following his word. And we discover that in the midst of the pasture of life, I think. And when it comes to pasture stories, I could tell you quite a few pasture stories, because I grew up on a dairy farm. And I know that in the pasture, even though they're green pastures, there's some strange and terrifying things out there. When I was a kid, my brothers and I were out in the pasture one day. I think we were just goofing around. I don't think we were out getting the cows together so that we could milk them. I think we were just out goofing around. And we had a little stream through our pasture with trees running through the ditch, and then open spaces for grass and that sort of thing. And I was walking across an old rotten log that went across the stream, and my foot fell through it, and there was a nest of bees in there, and they stung my ankle and my legs. And first it was terrifying, and second it hurt. And so my two older brothers packed mud around my ankle, and then they one under each of my arms, and they helped me hobble probably a mile to the house. And I learned through that struggle that my brothers love me. And that lasted for about a week. No, I'm just kidding. But they were helpful to me and cared that I was in pain, and so they did what they could to help me get through that. And I learned a lesson there of being vulnerable, asking for help, allowing my brothers to help when I was in need. Another time, my dad sent me after school. He sent me up to the pasture to get the cows so that we could milk them that night. And no, actually, he was already milking, and one was missing. A cow was missing, and so she was expecting a calf. So he figured she had calved up in the pasture somewhere. So he wanted me to go find her. Well, I was on my way up there, and again, the pasture was about, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile away or something. And so I was following the cow path and got just about to the trees, and all of a sudden this ginormous, I mean, it was the biggest bird I'd ever seen, flew out of the trees and right over my head and just scared me to death. So I ran home, and I just told my dad, you know, I couldn't find her. I looked everywhere. And so my dad didn't question me at all. He just, later when he was done milking, he went up and found her and her calf, and everything was okay. But see, there I wasn't vulnerable with my dad. I didn't tell him the truth. I think now, today, as I look back on that, I think he would have comforted me and explained to me that it was probably just an owl, you know, and not anything that I needed to be afraid of. But I was probably 10 years old, so it was like a pterodactyl to me. But my dad would have had more wisdom and knowledge of what was in the wilderness, in the pasture, so he would have had that wisdom to help me and comfort me. But I didn't allow him to do that. So being in the pasture doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. Jesus, again in the psalm, as even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through that valley, you know, again, Jesus knows we're going to face darkness and trials and tribulations, and yet he says, I am with you in the midst of that. And he makes himself, or he is made by God the Father, he is made to be the one through who we can come into that sheepfold, into that rhythm of life. Really, again, that's what we're talking about, where we go in and come out, knowing in our heart that we can trust God. Even when bad things happen, God is there, and God will bring good out of those bad things. See, that's the other part of this, is that God will use the crud of this world, the stuff that we go through, to help us and to bring good. And so that's the rhythm of life, this going in and this coming out, all under the care, under the hand, under the providence of God. And you can trust that. You and I can trust that. We are baptized children of God, and we are held in the hands of God forever. Nothing can snatch us out of God's hands, John's gospel will tell us later. Nothing can snatch us out of God's hands, because we belong to Him. We were bought with a price, not silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we can hold on to that. Dear friends, the abundance of life comes through knowing Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. The abundance of life comes to us in this going out and this coming in. I can't help but wonder what will happen. How has your life, your rhythm of life, changed in this coronavirus? I can imagine that many of you are finding blessings in this, because your life has slowed down a little bit. Your children are less active. You're not running them around, you know, between work and school and all of your work and their school and all their activities. I imagine that life has kind of come into this more of a focus for you. And I can't help but wonder, how will life go back to normal, or how will it change once this stuff opens up and we get on the backside of it? Is God using this to teach us about how to prioritize our lives and how to let the rhythm of God be our rhythm? The rhythm of starting our day in prayer and scripture, the idea of ending our day in prayer and scripture, the idea of maybe coming together as church twice a week, It may not be together, but it's online. Many of you have told me you're watching more than one church service every week. So how will the rhythm of your life be affected by this coronavirus? I hope that it's changed for the good, and I hope that out of it something new will grow for you. A new rhythm of life that's directed by your shepherd, Jesus Christ. God is with you. Trust in Him. He will lead you. You know His voice and His word. It is the word of life.